Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, I'm talking to Naomi Wolf, and we're talking about everything, but we're talking about really ugly things like vaccine passports. Naomi, let me ask you this. It's one thing to talk about vaccine passports, which really sickens me, and I think everyone should stand against it. Actually, let me, before I ask you the question I wanted to ask you, let me ask you this question first. What can we do? In other words, my attitude would be absolutely refuse to get a vaccine passport for any reason, just on an, as a matter of principle. And I'm not getting the vaccine either. And I have been public in saying that I don't think people should just get the vaccine. If you feel a particular need, maybe then sure, get the vaccine. But people are sort of automatically getting it. I say that's not a good idea. What do you say to that?
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I'm in touch with some of the key scientists who signed the Great Barrington Declaration, who are some of the premier epidemiologists and virologists in the world. And they warn that young people, healthy people have no reason to get what is still in experimental trials, and that there's more of a danger for unknown side effects for young, healthy people who are not at risk of serious effects from the virus. So that's my takeaway, you know, but that's a very personal choice. But going to your second point about...
Hold on, you say it's a personal choice, but isn't that the point? The idea that everybody's being told, just go along with it, get the vaccine. And I say, no. Why? Why? Right. I am not getting the vaccine. My family, we're not getting the vaccine. If people want to get it, great, get it. But this idea that everyone really needs to go get it, I would say there are enough questions to say that, no, I'm not ready to get it. I mean, you just said it's an experimental trials. That's not a headline that the New York Times is publishing. It is not FDA approved. How about that for a headline? Not FDA approved, but get it anyway. Why?
There are over 50,000 severe side effects in the VAERS registry, which tracks adverse side effects for
50,000.
Over 50,000. Very severe. I mean, they had to, here's how badly the New York Times is reporting this. 22 countries banned the AstraZeneca vaccine after so many people were getting blood clots and one Italian man died. And the headline in the New York Times, four countries pause the AstraZeneca vaccine. So you're just not getting the full story. But I would never take, I'm healthy and I'm not in the risk category. And I've carefully read the Great Barrington Declaration. And I'm absolutely persuaded by those scientists who point out that it's a small population. The average age of death for this virus is 85. You know, it's a small population that's at serious risk from what is a serious disease if you've got a comorbidity. But if you're healthy and you take some basic precautions, it's safer for you to get COVID and recover from it and have the immunities than to take an experimental vaccine for a disease for which you're not at serious risk of complications. That's the takeaway from talking to many, many scientists, reading many, many reports. But what, I'm not a doctor, all right? So as a cultural critic, I totally agree with you that what should be private personal decisions are being turned into a matrix for a communist style, no such thing as human freedom, no such thing as your choice, my body, my decision. What you do affects me. I'm entitled to coerce you. And I did want to warn you, again, speaking from my tech CEO kind of role, that the wish that people are expressing on social media that you just expressed, very reasonable, of I'm going to boycott, I'm not going to go along, I'm not going to carry the vaccine passport, it won't work once the vaccine passport is rolled out, because already the app will have all your data, all your medical data, all your credit history, all your financial history. It'll geolocate you whether you accept it or not. Because anytime you go to a restaurant, if you're asked to swipe a QR code to read the menu, the app will gather the data. Anytime you meet with friends who have the app, you know, your phone will talk to their phone, and the fact that you're in a social network will be uploaded to whoever has the contract for the app. And HIPAA law, which protects your medical privacy, it'll be over because the government, the Biden administration, will contract with Microsoft and with Oracle and Salesforce, the ones that are already kind of promoting this app. It's called Excelsior in New York State, but these are private companies. They will get all the data, and it'll bypass HIPAA law in the terms and conditions. So the only time to stop the vaccine passport is now, by lobbying state by state before it can be rolled out. Once it's rolled out, if you need to swipe your vaccine passport to get into Publix or to get into Walmart, you know, you're going to be, it'll be very difficult. Look at Rutgers, look at Cornell. They're saying students have to be vaccinated to go back to campus. Totally against the Americans.
Can they say that? I mean, it's just amazing to me that they would get away with that and that parents wouldn't raise hell over this. How dare they suggest that this is not even, it's not even optional. I mean, how can they suggest that when you're paying ridiculous sums to send your kids there? But this is maybe the issue. We just got a few minutes left, but Americans, we've never had anything like this. And so we are kind of blithely going along. This is not the time to go along. This is the time to pretend that, you know, it's 1760 something and we're going to dump the tea in the harbor. This is not the time to go along with what is happening. This is time to rebel. This is the time to say, stop. We are free. Stop. I will not do that. It's again why I'm so grateful for your voice, Naomi, because there's so few saying this. Tell us about the Great Barrington Declaration. Where can we see that online?
Sure. So that was hosted by the American Institute for Economic Research, a libertarian think tank. I just completed a fellowship there. But there's a Great Barrington Declaration website, and I believe you can see it on AIER's website as well. But I also want to let people know that my own platform, Daily Clout, has launched a Five Freedoms campaign that people who care about this will want to check out, in which we're showcasing model legislation to ban vaccine passports and other freedoms. No mask mandates, open schools, free assembly, free worship, free commerce, no more emergency law ever. So,
and that's Daily Clout. That, now that is your platform.
That's my
Daily Clout, not Cloud, Clout with a T.
Yeah, exactly.
Clout, Daily Clout. And what is that, since we just got a couple of minutes left, so people understand what it is that you do when you're not talking about this stuff?
Sure, thank you. It's a democracy platform that lets anyone draft and pass legislation. It brings the tools of democracy to citizens. It's nonpartisan. And what we're doing there with the Five Freedoms is we're showcasing, like, Governor DeSantis's executive order banning vaccine passports as a model for other governors, and, you know, draft legislation from Missouri, from Idaho, from Massachusetts to roll back these tyrannical laws. And we're really hoping people, and we're seeing it, we're getting hundreds of donations and hundreds of emails of support. We know that people across the political spectrum want to join together, as you just said, to save our America. This is not who we are. And it is time to fight now, because people misread it. You know, one brave doctor who called for a fight early on against these measures said, you know, initially I thought I want to be silent because I'll lose my job. But then I realized if this goes on any further, there won't be a future in which to even have a job. So now is the time to fight back. And I'm glad to do it with you, Eric, and all our friends across the aisle, across America.
Well, it is. There have never been anything. There's never been anything quite like this. I just have to say what we're facing now, it's stunning. People do need to wake up. People need to get serious. Folks, do not do anything just to do it. We'll keep talking about this. Naomi, we'll have you back to continue the conversation. I wish there were nothing like this to talk about, but since there is, we're glad to have you. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to be here, and I'm glad to be speaking to someone so historically well-informed about what times like they mean. Thank you, Eric.
Yes. Oh, bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream. Like all at once, I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I hold my pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Ann McElhenney and Phelim McAleer are my guests. Ann and Phelim, we want an update on your Hunter Biden movie. I know that his strange book is just out. What's the good news, folks?
Well, the good news regarding the movie is people have really stepped up, and many of them have written, actually, many of them are your viewers. You know, they really have stepped up. We've launched about 2.5 weeks now. We're almost at $600,000. We're on track. We actually, funny enough, if we hit $700,000, we can then start hiring actors, getting development, starting booking locations, because that's when we know we're going to be able to hit the total. So we're asking people to really step up. But, I mean, a lot is happening.
But Phelim, remind my viewers, because a lot of people, or listeners, I should say, aren't familiar. They missed our previous program. So yeah. You and Anne are making a film. You're doing a crowdfunding site. What is the crowdfunding site?
Just go to mysonhunter.com. So mysonhunter.com. We're doing crowdfunding. Movie. You know, we did this before. We did this for the Gosnell movie. We raised $2.3 million from over 30,000 people to make a movie about a story that journalists in America just wouldn't cover. And this is another example, as we always say, Phelim, yes, of immigrants doing a job Americans just won't do. Here we are again, you know, the world of journalism has decided to give Hunter Biden a Bible. More than that, actually, they're actually doing a, you
suppression.
Know, they're doing an active suppression. And then when they're not busy actively suppressing the story, they're really busy doing puff pieces about his art, about his new memoir, and basically ignoring the facts of this story, which are extremely disturbing and is the reason why we're making this movie.
Well, the movie, is My Son Hunter, and people can go to mysonhunter.com. I hope they will, because honestly, one of the most chilling things I've in my life was when in October, the Hunter Biden laptop information came out, and I thought, there is nothing that rises to this level. This is just one of the most stunning stories. We have somebody who can be elected president who appears to have compromised himself with our enemies, with the enemies of freedom and humankind, the Chinese communists, just as wicked as it comes, torturing, killing their own people. And no one touched it. They pretended it didn't exist. And then they dared to call it Russian disinformation, which is honestly, it's breathtaking to me that anyone could be that wicked. I can't think of another word, maybe evil, but to not cover something like that. So you both have said, we need to tell the story. So tell us about the film, My Son Hunter.
Well, it's a Hunter Biden biopic, but it's not making fun of Hunter Biden's foibles. Well, it is a little bit, okay. But we're not making fun of someone's addictions. You know, we're not there to criticize someone or to stand in judgment or to preach. We're showing Hunter Biden's addictions only to show the corruption that's in the Biden family, the Biden crime family. He was getting millions from a Ukrainian oil and gas company. He was getting millions from the mayor of Moscow's wife. He got tens of millions from the Chinese government. He got gifts from Chinese businessmen and a diamond ring. He got $100,000 for a spending spree, as did Joe Biden's brother. There's an email where he says 10% has to go back. Oh, we got a cat now walking across.
This never happened on this program.
Okay, well,
a rear end of a cat greeting.
It was a tail of a cat.
It was a tail of a cat.
What's the name of the cat?
I think the reason why you know all that addiction is significant or is mentioned is the context of it. So, you know, is this the guy you want on the board of your energy company? A guy who is crack addicted, who is so crack addicted, according to himself, at the time that he was working for Burisma, so crack addicted that he was actually smoking Parmesan cheese from the carpet. This is what you're meant to believe, that an energy company, a serious energy company, would want that guy on their board.
But the point is, there's an email where he says the big guy wants 10%. And his business partners have said the big guy is Joe Biden. Is Joe Biden getting 10% of these hundreds of millions that he got? And this is why we're making the movie. I say the movie is kind of Austin Powers meets King Lear meets House of Cards. You know,
Austin Powers meets King Lear meets House of Cards. That's insane.
Yes.
And I think that sums it up. But it's an insane story.
Yes.
The problem, listen, I think the problem with most Americans is that we are overly compassionate. In other words, there are times when compassion is beautiful and right.
Yes.
But it's kind of like having compassion on someone that murdered your family. You may want to forgive them, but you don't want to forget that these things shouldn't happen and we need to deal with what happened. Young man did, and what his father enabled him to do is something that we must face. If we don't have the will to face this, we deserve to go down the tubes as we're now going.
Yeah, Joe Biden is a big villain in this world and in this movie too. I mean, his son has these awful addiction issues. This whole thing with Joe Biden hugged him as he ran down the lane. Joe Biden may have hugged him as he ran down the lane, but he hugged him to say, don't forget to cut me in for 10%. And he hugged him to say, one thing I want my son, the addict, to do, not go to rehab, is to go off and earn all this money so I get my cut. He uses his addicted son as a bagman. And by the way, if you feel sympathy for Hunter Biden, read the memoir. You mightn't be so sympathetic. I mean, even in the introduction, in the bio to the memoir, it says Hunter Biden. What does it say? Hunter Biden has 5 kids.
Here's what it says. It's kind of amazing to me. So, you know, in the bio, and this is Simon and Schuster, and you know, as my mother might say, God forgive them, by the way. And I think you'll appreciate this, Eric. Here's what they say about the author. Hunter Biden is a lawyer and an artist. Bet you didn't know that. A graduate of Georgetown University, Yale Law School. Hunter worked as an advocate on behalf of Jesuit universities. I bet you didn't know that. And served on numerous corporate and nonprofit boards, including as vice chairman of Amtrak and chairman of the board of World Food Program USA. He is the son of President Joe Biden and the father of 3 daughters, Naomi, Finnegan, and Maisie. He lives with his wife, Melissa Cohen Biden, and their son, Beau, in California. There's just one problem with that bio.
There's many problems.
It totally ghosts the fact that there is a child in America, a two-year-old, who is the daughter of Hunter Biden and is being ghosted by a grown man
in a confessional memoir.
In a confessional memoir, ghosted by her own father, and ghosted, by the way, every day by the President of the United States, who tries to put himself forward as some kind of salvation for the people.
Can I just say, and in the memoir, he says, I don't remember having, I was so drug addicted, I don't remember having the relationship with this woman, but that is my child. It turns out, in the laptop, he is criticized by the management of his office company because he was sneaking this woman so often into the back door of his office building. And he wrote a big letter to the office manager chastising them, 1,700-word letter saying, don't you dare, this woman is coaching my children, she's this and that. He remembered her well. They were in a multi-month relationship.
And her name, by the way, is London Roberts. And I think it's important because in the book, she doesn't get a mention. So in this lengthy book, she never gets mentioned. The only mention she gets is on page, I'm not trying to see what page that is. She's called a woman. It basically said, it's why I would later challenge in court the woman from Arkansas who had a baby in 2018 and claimed the child was mine.
And in September 21, according to the laptop, in 2017, he emailed the building manager saying that London Roberts is my younger daughter's basketball mentor and she's worked out with Maisie and Sasha Obama when they played in rec league.
So, name drop.
And lying. So this is, if any of your listeners may feel sympathetic to Hunter Biden, and think that his confessional memoir is worth reading.
I think the very definition of a confessional memoir is that it's confessional. I think we all know what the word confession means. And you know, one of the awful pages in the book, I mean, it really is a terrible book, but here's an awful piece. And I am a little bit focused on this two-year-old in America who is completely unnecessarily and cruelly being ghosted. And the effect that that has on a child, it's unconscionable what is being done here. To write a child out of history, this child never did anything wrong. This has got nothing to do with politics, by the way. But if you're going to put yourself forward as this guy looking for sympathy because of your addiction, my God, man up. And be the father that you should be to this child. Listen to this hateful paragraph, Eric. I'm focused on our children. This is later in the book. The time I lost with them remains my greatest regret. We're getting there. There's a sense that all the horrible things said about me have brought us closer together, made them more fiercely loyal. That gives us an opportunity for healing. How dare you, is what I say to Hunter Biden, to do this to a child, to an innocent child, and to lie about it. Over and over again.
Well, especially when they have all the money in the world to help the kid. Folks, I'm talking to Anne McElhenney, Fela McAleer. The website is mysonhunter.com, mysonhunter.com. We'll be right back.
I tried to reach for you, but you have closed your mind.
Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener's square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC.
Hey there, folks. This is Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to my friends Anne and Phelim, who are making another movie. Many people saw the Gosnell film that you made. You raised the funds for that, crowdsourcing. You're doing the same with the film about Hunter Biden called My Son Hunter. I hope generous people will go to mysonhunter.com. Folks, we cannot complain if we don't do what we can. Please go to mysonhunter.com and help get this film made. Anne and Phelim, this is a big deal to do this. Do you have the script? I'm trying to remember. Where were you?
The script is still in progress. We're about to finish it. We wanted to wait till the book came out to see if there's any juicy details to add to it, but it's very near completion. So we're spending money, we're spending time. This is going to go ahead.
Yeah, this is going to happen. And you know what? You just in your, you know, when you were just introducing us again there, Eric, you said this is about Hunter Biden. You know, it's also very, very, very much about the media. It's obviously about Hunter Biden. It's about Joe Biden, but it's very, very much as almost equally weighted about the media and of what the media did in this case, which is really chilling. It's very scary, you know, to realize, to turn around one day. I mean, I remember Phelim and I one time, you know, saying not that long ago, we didn't come to America for this. You know, we didn't come here for this, for this country, the land of the free and the home of the brave, where a massive news story is suppressed and censored, and where a massive population of people didn't know these details about the big man, about cutting in the big guy, who didn't know any of this in advance of the election. And we know, because the Media Research Center did the polling on this, we know that it would have changed the election. No matter what anyone says about any other aspect of the election, this one is extremely verifiable. Twitter closed down the story from the New York Post, the oldest newspaper in America, I believe. I think it's the oldest newspaper in America, for 17 days. And then afterwards said it was a mistake. But the damage was done by then. Facebook did the same thing.
And journalists intimidated other journalists to not cover this story. So
it's hateful.
I just have to ask you both. I mean, what fascinates me is, are there no journalists with actual standards anymore? The idea that something comes out and you don't have some kind of a professional obligation.
Yes.
It's kind of like a doctor. If you see somebody dying in the street, you say, oh, I'm a doctor. I have an obligation. Maybe I'll be late for my next appointment because I am a doctor. This is what doctors do. I don't understand how the journalistic class in this country can possibly so quickly have abdicated their fundamental role in this republic. You cannot have a free society without a free press. And they have been behaving in ways that, I mean, it's kind of funny because they used to criticize Trump. And the fact is, he never said anything about them that wasn't true. It's worse than anything that he said, that they're the fake news, they're the non-news. They're not covering stories that are just dying to be covered. The Hunter Biden laptop story is at the heart of all of these stories, larger stories.
Yeah, I mean, it's historic. Actually, what happened during that election campaign was historic, and not in a good way. This never happened before, that the media took a decision not to investigate a story. And by the way, I'm not saying to cover a story. I'm talking about investigating a story, because, you know, these things are very easily debunked, especially emails that are CC'd 5 or 6 people. Yeah. You go to everyone and say,
did you write this? Do you recognize this email?
Do you recognize this email? And if the person says, I was not involved in that email, then you go and
then you've got a great story, by the way. You can prove it. No, but also you go, as you say, Phelim, you go to like 10, 20 people and you say, by the way, we have investigated this. We have spoken to 20 people who were CC'd in various of these emails. Every one of them denies that these emails existed. In other words,
it's not just denials, Alan. You can actually go and say to people, where were you at that time? And if, some of them might be on a plane. Some of them could be on holidays, not have their laptop with them. Yeah. You know, some of them, is that your IP address? You could check the IP address of where your computer was. I mean, these are very, very, and I'm not a computer expert. These newspapers and media organizations have data experts who love this kind of thing.
No one needs to be a computer expert to realize that all you got to do is search in your emails. You can go back and find all the emails you've ever sent and see if that email was sent to you. Did you get CC'd?
But even if they deny it, right, it's provable. Everything is provable. And The reason they didn't ask these questions, these provable questions, is because they knew the answer would be something they didn't want to get. And that's why journalists don't investigate and didn't investigate this story. So that's why we're doing the job. We're going to expose this. And we're going to do it not as a documentary. We're going to do it as a movie because with actors and because it's entertaining. Because a documentary has a small enough audience. You know, some of them do get big audiences. But really, it's hard to beat a movie, an entertaining, fun movie. It's going to be filmed in Serbia because that's going to double as Ukraine. And there's a lot of attractive women in strip bars in Serbia. So that
shockingly,
no movie about Hunter Biden would be complete without strip bars and attractive women.
It's just so vulgar and horrifying. I mean, the details that you were sharing the last time we were together, when I spoke to Jack Maxey on this program about what's in the laptop, it's just unbelievable. You know, there are levels of depravity. When someone is filming themselves smoking crack, when someone is filming themselves doing pornographic acts and posting it, you just think no one would do that. That's just, nobody could do that, right? And then you find out, yeah, the son of the man in the White House did it recently, and he's just got a book out and he's appearing on talk shows, and you just think, This is not possible. This is absolutely not possible. And yet it is possible. It is not only possible, it's happening. Folks, go to mysonhunter.com. We're going to be right back. I'm talking to Anne McElhenney, Fela McAleer. It's mysonhunter.com is the website. Check it out. We'll be right back. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show, and I'm talking to Anne McElhenney and Fela McAleer. Yes, they're partially Irish. Tell me, Anne and Fela, who are you casting in the film, or are you casting it yet?
Well, first of all, I want to raise an objection. We're not partially Irish.
We're all Irish.
100% Irish. Well, actually, I suppose I'm partially Irish, partially British. Okay, you're right, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, you guys, and with a name like Fela, you're 140% Irish.
All right.
There you go. The definition.
So we talked to Lawrence Fox, which I think your listeners know.
Lawrence Fox is running for mayor of London. By the grace of God, he will defeat Sadiq Khan or whatever his name is, the woke monster who is destroying London. But Lawrence Fox, many people know him from British TV, but you've been in touch with him.
Yes. He played Lord Palmerston in
Victoria,
the Netflix series. Yes, we've been in touch with him. We've had several conversations with him. He's very, very keen to play the role because, basically, you know, he's a great actor and he loves the role. He was laughing at it. But he's been expelled from polite company for not having the right woke politics. So his agent fired him in London. He's been, you know, he's not been offered jobs, but he's very keen to do this. I mean, obviously, I'd like to see him win, become mayor of London, but he's not going to become mayor of London.
I think he's too tall and good looking for the part. I think I'm your man.
Oh, for the part? I thought you were going to say too tall, too good looking.
To be the mayor of London?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
You're not degenerate enough looking, Eric.
You're too pure looking, too crappy looking.
Yeah. I'm sure Lawrence appreciates that. Every time I turn around, my wife and I watch, you know, streaming, usually UK productions. Every time I turn around, it is, if it's not Lawrence Fox, it's a member of his family starring in the film. Yesterday, we were watching a 1977 Dickens adaptation of Hard Times. And sure enough, who appears? His uncle, Edward Fox.
Edward Fox.
Every time you turn around, James Fox, Edward Fox, one of the Foxes.
Yeah, Lawrence Fox has got a huge pedigree in acting. He's a great actor. We would just love to have him on the show, on the film. And we also have been talking to an Oscar-winning actor about playing Joe Biden. We can't say who it is at the moment, but we have a very big name who is excited about the role and I think would do it if the schedule allows. So, this is going to be
a major movie. And I think a lot of times, sometimes, you know, when we talk to conservatives, they always presume it's going to be a documentary. This is not a documentary. This is an entertaining movie that tells the story truthfully about what happened here. And when you put all this stuff together, when you put these images together and you realize that during the time that Burisma were paying this guy like $50,000 a month, he was basically cracked, you know, had crack cocaine, you know, up his nose, was out of his head on crack cocaine. And you're supposed to believe he was bringing some value to Burisma. The question is, what was the value he was bringing? And his name is Hunter Biden. So I don't think it's that difficult for people. People are smart. They understand there is a reason why a guy who is a crackhead is getting all this money. And the reason is because his surname is Biden and his father has power.
I want to know really how it is that members of the media and really voters in America are not horrified at the corruption. I mean, this is nothing but pure, the purest kind of corruption that exists. It's pay for play. It is everything involving millions of dollars. It is so dirty that if anyone else did anything like this, they would go to jail. This is as ugly as it gets, as dirty as it gets. And this is the president's son. And nobody seems to be doing anything about it.
You know what this makes me think about? So I don't know if you know this, Eric, but Phelan trained me as a journalist. We went to live in Romania and Phelan trained me as a journalist from, I'd been a high school teacher and I decided I want to be a journalist and Phelan trained me. And the things he taught me back then, I still remember. And one of them was, and it's very, very pertinent right now to this conversation, was if it isn't in the newspaper, it didn't happen. If it isn't in the newspaper, it didn't happen. You know, because we would come across amazing stories in Romania. And I'm like, God, and Phelan was like, we got to get this in the newspaper. If it isn't in the newspaper, it didn't happen. And once it's in there, then it's like, and so ordinary people, they hear this thing about the, you know, the laptop or whatever. And you know, maybe they don't even hear it, but they don't know that it's happened because it hasn't been reported on. And that's why we're doing this movie, because people don't even know it happened.
They know nothing about it.
They know nothing about it.
I think something like 60% of Democratic voters have never heard.
Well, by the way, just recently, Phelan, what did you just
say? I went on Venice Beach and did a vox pop of Biden supporters. A lot of them are there on Venice Beach. Two of them had heard of Hunter Biden. We did about 20 of them. Two of them had heard of Hunter Biden. One knew him vaguely, and the other knew the scandal. So one out of 20 knew the scandal. The rest had never heard of him.
I was quite surprised. It's amazing because we kind of forget because we're very informed, like yourself. We know about this whole story. But it's interesting, you know, Phelan just goes there randomly on Venice Beach and starts asking people. And these are people who say, I voted for Joe Biden. And it's kind of shocking and disturbing when they say, who? Hunter who? How do you say that again? Hunter Biden? I haven't heard of him. You're thinking, really? We're going
to
change
that. Well,
you
have to remember, they're Biden voters. It's kind of sad, isn't it, that they get to vote. Their vote is equal to yours or to mine, and they know nothing. It's a free country. I have to say it's an extraordinary thing. The film is going to be called My Son Hunter. Is that right?
Yes. Correct. Yes.
So that's the website and the name of the film, mysonhunter.com. If Lawrence Fox becomes the next mayor of London, you're going to be begging me to play this part. And let me tell you something. You can't afford me. I'll tell you that up front, right. But I'll work with you.
I don't know. I see Eric more as a degenerate ex-academic in Serbian strip bar.
Oh, yeah.
When I knew I liked you. It is thrilling to me that you're doing this. It's a very ambitious idea. You are ambitious and energetic, and you do all these different kinds of things. If the money comes in soon, when would you be filming this? Do you know?
In the summer. That's the plan. In the summer and getting it out this year. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very tight schedule.
We've just got 30 seconds. What will the story, where will it start and where will it end?
Well, I mean, it's going to bring in all the Hunter scandals and his life. It's going to start with him at the lowest point of his life, we think, and then flashbacks. And then move forward, flashbacks to all the things that have happened to him, and then forward to all the things that didn't happen with the media and the presidential election. But that, we don't want to give away the plot.
We are giving away
the film for free, so people will have to watch the movie.
Okay, mysonhunter.com is the website. Folks, please, we need your help. Mysonhunter.com. Ann and Phelan, a joy to be with you. Thank you so much.
Sexy.
Hey, folks, welcome back. I scared myself. Alvin, I scared myself.
You scared me, too.
Okay, we've got a couple of things to share. I want everybody listening, I'm asking you folks, please, for your own sake, go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Why? We are sending stuff out every couple of days. Some of it is really, really informative. I'm going to be sending out a video. There's a doctor, my sister-in-law, Joanne, sent us a video of a doctor in Iowa. I've never heard a more thoughtful, well-spoken, humble doctor talking about the COVID situation. I was absolutely astounded by some of the things that he said. I put it up on Twitter and on my social media, but if you're signed up for my newsletter, all this stuff will come to you. But I have to say, his name is Dr. Ryan Cole. He's in Iowa. He talks about the vaccine. He talks about ivermectin. He talks about, with such knowledge and such authority, I thought, this is the kind of stuff we need to know. He said, by the way, that 50% of medical professionals are not getting the vaccine. Mm. And I thought, that is one of the biggest pieces of evidence for not getting the vaccine. Now, I'm not one of these people who says, oh, you can't get the vaccine. No, I think some people feel an obligation or they have their reasons. But from what I have seen and from what I heard Ryan Cole say on this video and other videos that I've watched, this is not a slam dunk. For one thing, technically, it's not a vaccine. It's something more complicated than that. So vaccine is a misnomer. They kind of relabeled it as a vaccine, but technically it's not a vaccine. So when you know more about what it is, it's a little concerning. It's not so easy. It's not a Band-Aid. It's not like taking Advil. So I think people need to know about it, right? So this is not fear mongering. This is be wise, because it can have side effects down the line. It can have side effects in the future. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because it's not FDA approved. For something to be FDA approved, it has to go through some hoops. Because of the emergency of this pandemic, now the pandemic's over, we know, right? It's an endemic now, the pandemic's over. But because of the emergency, this was rushed through so that we can get these vaccines. But they were not given FDA approval. So this is still experimental, and you're taking your health in your own hands. So you have to be aware. If you're going to do this, be aware of what you're doing, be aware of what the risks are, so that you can't say, oh, I didn't know, when a year from now something happens and they say, oh yeah, that was listed as one of the possible side effects. We need to know, right? So I think that there's this rush to judgment. Everybody says, oh, if you're speaking about the vaccine in the most slightly negative way, you shouldn't do that because then people aren't going to get it. There was an article in the New York Times yesterday demonizing evangelical Christians and mentioned me. And I have to say, folks, that's really despicable that they're demonizing evangelical Christians. For what? For actually doing research, for talking about something that involves their bodies. Right. They're demonizing evangelical Christians. The two people that are the most outspoken about this, Dr. Simone Gold and Naomi Wolf, both of them are not Christians nor evangelical Christians. They are informed people. One of them a doctor, one of them somebody who is as brilliant as it gets, but not a doctor. We need to be informed. So I'm going to be posting things on my my email newsletter. Please do go to ericmetaxas.com and sign up for that newsletter.
Yeah, and to balance things out, I'm also, of course, an evangelical Christian, and I got the shot 42 times. So now I'm going around healing everybody.
Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. But you did get it, though.
I did. I got.
Well, okay, so
extenuating my parents circumstances.
Got it. People are getting it, but I'm just saying that I'm not getting it, and I would check it out. All right, we're out of time. Go to mypillow.com. Use code Eric. Thank you.